Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Squim Community Church. It's wonderful to have you with us today, especially considering it's so beautiful and sunny outside. Thank you for coming inside to worship with us. This morning, I want to share a scripture with you. It's 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it says, "That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him." And this first song we're going to sing this morning talks about that. Sometimes we don't see what God is doing. We don't feel his presence. We don't know how he's working in our life. But we can trust, we can know that he is always at work for our good. Mm-hmm. And he's faithful. So let's stand and let's sing together this morning.
Breaking chains right now. God, let your glory come down. Let's pray together. God, we're thankful that you desire to be our Savior. You're already Lord of the universe. The only question is, will you be our Lord and Savior? We're thankful that you call to us so that we can, in response, declare that you are the leader of our life. And that in that moment, sets us on the path that you have in store for us, the eternal destination that you've secured for us. All of that is proof that you are a great and awesome God. We pray today for our world, our country. We pray for our church and community and the other churches in our community. Lord, we pray for those whose picture is in our mind right now. People who need direction. People who need hope. People who need healing. Lord, you know us as only the God who created us could know us. And so we lift our concerns, our burdens, and ask that you would bring your presence and power and peace to bear in the lives of these people. And as we gather to worship you, we do want to lift you up. I pray that you would lift us up as we lift you up, that we might give glory and honor to you as we worship both in truth and in spirit. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen. So you can turn around and wave to those around you this morning. I definitely brought water today. I want to welcome all of those who are with us on live stream this morning, as well as those that are here in present. I need water because it's been absolutely beautiful here in Sequim, Washington. It's sunny. It's the mid-70s. People are happy. They have a little extra bounce in their step. Oh, it's going to last like that, this weather and this attitude, for at least the next 3 or 4 months. We'll probably have a little rain along the way. That's why it's green here. Got to have a little rain to do that. Today, I just have a few things to tell you about. Number one, thank you for your generosity to the Refresh God's House project. We have put a bunch of carpet in the sanctuary. We're here today, 3 services on the 50 minutes, so that can make it to the next stage. We have more carpet coming. We're going to redo the main bathrooms in that building, put a roof on our Kids Zone building, and put a few more windows here on the second floor in the Fellowship Center. So thank you for your generosity. We could still, if you're looking for a place to put that stimulus check or that mandatory drawdown from your IRA, we have a place for that money. So thank you for being a part of that. Today we're going to have steps are going to happen, 1 through 5. That'll be right after the service. Everyone who's here for a step gathering, head to the center building on our campus. That's where we'll have lunch, and then I'll give you instructions on where you're headed for your particular step gathering. Now, we also have basic beliefs going on, and we had a great group online as well as an abundant group on campus last week, and it was awesome. Now, normally, the way Rick does it is you can come and check it out the first week and then decide if you want to be a part of it, but he's running a hot deal this week and this week only for a second week in a row at no extra cost. You can come down and check out Basic Beliefs. You can either do that online or be a part of what takes place on campus. I love Basic Beliefs. It gives us great answers to our great questions about the Christian faith. We know that people belong before they believe, and so we want to help you believe. And this is a great way, a foundational way, for you to understand the Christian faith. The other thing it does is it fills in some gaps we might have in our understanding of our Christian faith. So it does both of those. If you're waiting for a chance to be invited to come down and check it out, I'm giving you an invitation on behalf of Reverend Rick, our going pastor. I invite you to come and be a part of that. If you want to be online and you need the Zoom link, just contact the church office if you're having any challenge to that. So those are our announcements. Things are going well. Christy is our elder of parties, and she's so looking forward to this year.
Amen.
So that we can throw a few more parties. We officially call that the elder of
congregational life.
It was coming to me. I haven't said it very much this last year. So
I miss it.
Rehearse while I'm over here.
I am ready to party. Good morning, church. Today I will be reading from Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26, and Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him.
One more drink. We're taking an internal journey, looking at who we are on the inside. The outside, you can buy it on Amazon, you can pick it up at the store. It's available. I believe the management of our exterior life is the easy part of the journey. I think the challenging part of the journey of faith, the adventure of faith, is the inward journey. Who we are on the inside. Last week we talked about choosing God. Getting ourselves on the Jesus path. And that's the foundation, that's the linchpin. God is the option for us to carry on an internal journey, understanding who we really are understanding how to move forward in life and in faith. This week it's about hope, choosing hope of change. Yes, God can and God will change us if we would just admit we needed some help. Can we admit that we need some help? That we could use not only some exterior help, but some interior help as well. Verse 13 out of Philippians 2. For God is working in you, that's the Holy Spirit, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Now, when we choose the Jesus path, we're now about pleasing God, about doing what God wants us to do, what God has commanded, instructed, suggested that we do out of His Word. And to do that, we have a desire and an understanding that will help us move forward. Now, last week we talked about asking Jesus to be the leader of our life. The big word for that is regeneration or salvation. In a particular moment in time, you ask Jesus to be the leader of your life. Now, sometimes that's a very natural process and you cross the line. Other times we've been off wandering around doing our own thing and we got to come, make a decision to cross the line. It is instantaneous and it is decisive. But that's just the beginning of the Christian faith. The balance is called sanctification. We get on the Jesus path, the path that Jesus has fashioned for us, and we make progress becoming more and more the person that God fashioned us to be. To become more and more like Jesus in how we think, how we act, how we relate. God wants us to be sanctified. So we get regenerated or we receive Christ. Then we get on the salvation, sanctification path. And then ultimately it's glorification. We die and we go to heaven. As He resurrected, He promises resurrection to us. If we do not choose the Jesus path, if we don't choose to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us or sanctify us from the inside out, we are not left with good choices. What do we choose? Well, we choose alcohol and drugs, shopping, food, self-pity, entertainment, sex. All of those are very self-absorbed activities. And those activities say, oh, well, we don't need any help because we've got it all together. Yet we know we don't really have it all together. We all know that we could use some help, not only external help, but profound life change eternally, internally. For that to happen, I believe we need to get three things in sharp, clear focus. For transformation to happen, once we ask Jesus to be the leader of our life, the first thing we have to get right is we need to see God for who God really is. Now, I was raised in a tradition where, well, God was mad at you all the time, right? I was a sinner. He doesn't like sin. Ergo, God is mad at me and He is out to punish me. Who is God? Romans 8:34. Who then will condemn us? No, for He is the one who died for us and came back to life again for us and sits at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us there in heaven. Gee, that doesn't sound like God's come to condemn us and punish us. In fact, it sounds as though it's just the opposite of that, that Jesus came to die so that we can live. And now we're not floating around on the Jesus path by ourselves. No, Jesus is paying attention. He's very cognizant of us. He's waiting for us to talk to Him. When we need help and we call to Him, He's ready and willing to respond. No, He's not a mad God. He's not a God that's out to condemn us or punish us. Actually, the opposite is true. Psalm 86. But You, O Lord, are compassionate and a gracious God. You're slow to anger. You're abounding in love and faithfulness. Wow! Well, that doesn't sound like God's mad at me. It doesn't sound like God is out to punish me. It sounds to me that God is for me. That God wants to lavish His love on me. That He wants me to know where I'm going and how to get there. He's a God that's come to deal with our anxiety and our fears and our worries, not only now, but in terms of eternity. God is a compassionate and loving God. He loves you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God understands us, and He understands the broken, original sin-impacted world that we live in. Getting on the Jesus path does not mean that everything is just going to be easy all the time. No, God understands this world that we live in is still full of pain and problems and suffering, injustice. One day, He will take care of all of that, the Scriptures say. But until His return, He understands how challenging it is to be a human being in this world. And He wants us to know that He's here to help. God is the Father who is full of mercy and comfort. God hasn't come to condemn. God has come to comfort us, to help us, to heal us. So the key piece to start with is that we got to see God for who He really is, not somebody who wants to condemn us, but a God that wants to care for us, comfort us. He wants to show His compassion to us. The second part is we need to really understand us for who we really are. I mentioned this last week. I think it's the core of what I want to say today, and that is that God understands that we're cracked, we're broken, and we might be missing a piece or two when it comes to the puzzle of life. God understands us for who we are. Yes, He was there when we were knit together in our mother's womb. He understands our personality and all of our strengths and weaknesses. God sees us for who we really are, and He loves us. The question is, can we see ourselves for who we really are? Paul states that, "For all have sinned and fall short of God's glorious standard." The practical result of that is that we have cracks. We are broken. We might be missing a piece or two when it comes to the puzzle of life. And the key is, can we see ourselves for who we really are? Now, I think we practice hurtful hiding. I think we try to hide our real self from God, other people, and we even have fooled ourselves when we look at ourselves in a mirror. That we are a person without a crack or a brokenness. That we might be missing a piece or two in the puzzle of life. Who are we trying to fool? Are we trying to fool God? Are we trying to fool others? Are we trying to fool ourselves? Well, at times, here's what God says. Luke 12. Two's from the Living Bible, and verse 3 here is from the Message. Verse 2. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and that hidden that will not be made known. So you can't hide from God. You don't need to hide from other people. And why are you trying to hide what is cracked or broken or missing in your own life? See, when we can admit that, good things happen. Here's verse 3. You can't keep your true self hidden forever. And the answer to that is this is true. You can't. You can try and try and try, but your true self will finally come out. Before long, you'll be exposed. You can't hide behind a religious mask or some kind of veneer forever. Sooner or later, the mask will slip and your true face will be known. Why is it that it takes tragedy and trauma before we begin to want to see who we really are? And we wear masks and veneers, and we always try to have our best foot forward because we're afraid that somehow, if God really knew me, He wouldn't love me. If they really knew me for who I am, they won't love me. And if I really understand my cracks and my brokenness and my missing pieces, I'm not sure I could love myself. And God says, take off the veil, take off the mask, take off the veneer. You know what? He already knows you. The truth is most people around you know the real you anyway. And when it gets down to it, the only person that you're trying to fool is yourself. The reason we don't have to be afraid of God, and I don't believe we need to be afraid of other people or being honest with ourselves, is the penetrating reality of God's love in our life and in the lives of others. Jeremiah 31:3, God is speaking, I have loved you with an everlasting love, so I will continue to show you my kindness. Wow. You mean God's not heavy-handed? No, God is kind. God is kind. Romans 3:24, God in His gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He has done this through Christ Jesus, who has freed us by taking away our sins. God wants to free us from our cracks and our brokenness and our missing pieces. And He does that because He loves us. And we have to be honest about where we're trying to cover up and run away and hide from God and others and ourselves. And nothing can call us out in a better way than God's love. Because that's not a situational circumstance, setting, or relationship. See, God's love is forever. God's love is for today, for this moment. And God has loved us, He does love us, and He will love us forever. That's why He comes to the door of your heart and soul, and He knocks on it and calls your name. He calls your name because He wants to call you out. Be who you are. Be the person that I'm transforming and sanctifying. And yeah, I know I have days like you do, 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. Do things right, do things wrong. Should have done that, didn't do that. Our mask gets us saying, shoulda, coulda, woulda. And God's love says, why not? You have nothing to lose. You won't lose my love. You won't lose my presence and my power and my plan for your life. And oh yeah, we all get a little egocentric and we go over and do our own thing for a while. And then we realize, oh, we're not really doing the best thing. And so we make our way back to the Jesus path. And oh, wow, now we're doing better because we're being transformed. We're being sanctified each and every day. So don't think God doesn't love you. God loves you. And I know the reality, it's hard to love ourselves because we know ourselves so well. And it does mean we need to risk a little bit that other people around us will love us when we're giving voice to our cracks and our brokenness and our missing pieces. And many times the way that God brings wholeness and healing to a person is through someone else that's a part of the family of God. And that's the thing I love about small groups. You know, you get in a small group and at some point you got to just take the mask off, strip away the veneer, and be able to say, you know, I've had a terrible day. I got cracks. You know, I'm in a bad mood today. I feel a little broken. I could use a little healing. We can go to a small group and we can say, you know, I'm just having trouble kind of figuring out the next segment of my Jesus path, God's plan in my life. And that might be because I need some wisdom or some help or a door open or a resource provided. And then you got other people that say, yeah, we get it. And yes, we'll pray for you and we'll help you. We need to understand God for who He really is. We need to understand ourselves for who we really are. We also need to understand what change is really all about, what sanctification change is really all about. Now, I've noticed that in general, people have 2 negatives to the idea that, okay, God's going to dwell in me through the Holy Spirit, and now I'm going to get on the Jesus path, and I'm going to make progress. I'm going to get sanctified, transformed. And the number one reason is I don't have enough energy and time right now to deal with all that. You know, I'll have to figure out whether God is really close and caring or far away. Then I got to figure out about Jesus. He's God and man, and He really resurrected, and oh, yeah, that just, too much time and energy to deal with all of those things as though those are the primary things that being a Christian is about. The other reason why people are so negative is they say to me, you know, I've tried. I've heard people say this. I've been other places and heard people say the same. I've tried, I've prayed, I've served, I've read, I've studied, I've memorized. I've. And when it comes to change, understand it's ultimately not about you. It's not about what we aspire to do or try to do. It's about yielding and submitting to God and letting Him do what only God can do. And God is in the business. He's in the internal business of shoring up our cracks and our brokenness and giving us the pieces that we need so that we can have a full life, a purposeful life. The kind of life that only comes when you're on the Jesus path. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work within you if you let Him, giving you the will and the power to achieve His purpose. Most everybody that shows up at a church wants to do God's purpose. They've chosen Him and they're getting themselves on the path, the Jesus path to sanctification and transformation from the inside out. But what we really need to see is that it's not our human effort, but allowing God's power and present His desire to be the number one priority in our life. And that means we have to take our ego and be willing to put it in a secondary position. Most of us say, I'll deal with my cracks and my brokenness and my missing pieces all on my own because I'm a smart, talented person. Well, those really help you with the external things. But that doesn't mean they're going to be assets as you take an internal journey and begin to understand your nature and your character. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, allows us to see what our nature and character is all about. Jesus becomes the example for us. And not that we're not to work out our salvation. Yeah, but the work is more about yielding than submitting. Than it is us just trying to overcome on our own our humanness and the sin that resides within us. See, the first thing we need to do is we need to choose Jesus. And then we have to allow Jesus through the Holy Spirit to work inside of us. The Holy Spirit indwells us in the moment that we cross over from death to life. The Holy Spirit's already here. And so what we need to do is get our ego out of the way of the Holy Spirit. And let the Holy Spirit heal the cracks and the brokenness. Allow the Holy Spirit to give us the missing pieces that we're missing in the puzzle of life. Allowing Him, with His miraculous, supernatural power, to change us as hard as we are, as resistant as we are to change. Allow Him to have His way. Let us pray. Jesus, you're such a great God. You have loved us. You do love us. You're going to love us in the future. You're going to love us for all eternity. Lord, we are thankful that you're compassionate, loving, forgiving, gracious, merciful, and the list goes on. Jesus, you know our difficulty in our ability to see ourselves for who we really are. We want to hide from you, hide from others, hide from ourselves. Yet it's very clear, it's your love that calls us out and calls us into being the men and women of God that you created us to be. To be free, fully human. Oh, not perfect. And so, Lord, we want to yield and submit and make our way, allowing you to be the way, the truth, and the life for us. Lord, thank you for being a God who cares and loves us in our worst times. A God that loves us even before we change. Thank you for being a God that loves us too much to leave us in the single spot we're in right now. But you keep urging us and enabling us to carry out your purpose. Lord, help us to carry out that purpose this day and every day. And so we pray in your name. Amen. Paul says in Ephesians, God is working in you. He has a plan for you. And you may not feel like it today, but you are a masterpiece. God is for you. He's not against you. He loves you and he wants to empower you as you choose him and choose to be a part of sanctification. He has the best up ahead for you and me both. Amen.